350 metres to go. Here comes the peloton led by Luis Leon Sanchez.
The Spanish champion is chasing. Yates is leading out. Alaphilippe is waiting. Hershey is playing with a cold head and a warm heart. It's Yates who leads. Alaphilippe, the peloton breathing down their neck. They could be caught.
Van Avermaet goes.
So too does Alaphilippe. Hershey responds. Yates tries to stick with him. Alaphilippe, he does it again. It's Alaphilippe who was bold. He holds on surely. Hershey, Alaphilippe, just.
The final stages of stage two of Le Tour started across the weekend. A lot of people having some late nights for the next little while, watching it all unfold on our timeline. But Julian Alaphilippe won stage two in a sprint finish to claim the yellow jersey in Nice, held off Mark Hershey to edge home by half a wheel after leaving Britain's Adam Yates behind in a final dart for the line. Now, that's important, Adam Yates' position, because he's part of our team at Mitchelton Scott, and he is now sitting second in Le Tour, just 4 seconds behind Julian Alaphilippe. And Matt White's the sporting director at Mitchelton Scott, who I'm sure is very pleased about that. He joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Matt.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How's things?
We are going very well, thank you. How's things over there for you guys in Nice at the moment?
Yeah, look, I'd be lying if I thought it feels like a normal Tour de France with everything going on around us, but it's good to get the racing up and away in the middle of a pandemic, and the boys have certainly responded well, and it's a nice start for us to get some runs on the board and move into second place overall.
Yeah, which is fantastic with Adam Yates there. What are you expecting from Adam through this? We've got Esteban Chavez, who's my man, who's 17 seconds back at this stage. Obviously, very early doors in the Tour. Don't get too excited too early. But what were your expectations coming in for this edition of the Tour?
Look, we're looking to win some stages here. Look, Adam Yates was the plan at the start of the year, and the plan right through had been he would probably lead our team general classification-wise. And then he got sick about 6 weeks ago and missed a couple of weeks training. Now, look, it might sound funny seeing his results now, but he missed a key period of training, and we are not riding general classification with him, but we are definitely looking to win stages. And what the plan is to hit it early in his first week, maybe back off a little bit in the second week and go again in a very, very tough back end of the race for the climbers. And look, Esteban's in a good place as well. So, look, it's not a normal start to the Tour de France. Yeah, that was a mountain stage today on day two. And this first 9 days right across to the Pyrenees, it's a very tough one and not your typical start to the Tour.
In terms of the overall Tour and the field, normally in the last decade or so, we've come into the Tour with knowing that there was really one or two chances to take it out. We've had some dominant performers in the last little, well, probably 20 years, really. Well, what about this year's edition? Is it that clear-cut, or is it a bit more open this year, considering some of the challenges that the field's going through just to get the race going anyway?
So I think going into the Tour, the two favourites is probably last year's winner, Egan Bernal from Colombia on Ineos, and then Primoz Roglic, who won the Vuelta a España last year and who's won most races that he started in the last 12 months. They're the two clear favourites coming in, but the big difference this year is none of the athletes have had the same preparation or a normal preparation race-wise. Some guys have been locked in their houses for 10 weeks, not been able to train outside. Some guys have had perfect preparation. Some countries haven't locked down at all. So it really is going to be a different Tour de France. And also, you know, the Tour de France is normally July, not September. Yeah. So there's a lot of different variabilities this year to the Tour. But at the end of the day, there's no need for excuses. And we're all in the same boat once the race starts. But it could throw up some surprises.
So, Matt, as sporting director, are you doing anything differently? Sort of give us a bit of an insight to our listeners about some of the protocols that you have to adhere to with, obviously, under the, as you said before, the cloak of COVID.
Yeah, so my residence is in Spain. So Spain and Italy had the two harshest lockdowns here in Europe. So one thing that's become quite normal is face masks. So and here now in France, so the only time that we're allowed to not have a face mask on is when you're in the confines of your own room or when you're at meal times. So we're wearing masks for, you know, a big chunk of the day. As far as the testing, all the races that we go to, we're getting testing 6 days out and 3 days out from an event. So I think I've had 7 or 8 COVID tests in the last 6 weeks. And then obviously there's a lot of protocols, which, you know, cycling in general, a sport that is on the move a lot at our races. You know, in this month, we're staying at 18 hotels in 25 days. Just the general sanitisation of the hotel rooms. You know, a big emphasis on hand hygiene. And obviously we are doing things like all the riders have their own rooms. The vast majority of staff have their own rooms. When we're at dinner time, eating a metre apart, just little things that limit the mitigate the risk.
And did you think that this would happen? I mean, obviously, it's happening, as you said, in September and not in July, but just with everything that's gone on, do you sort of have time to reflect back and think, we're actually doing this?
I think if you'd asked me in the middle of April, when there was 1,000 people dying a day in Spain, whether we'd be racing a Tour de France this year, I wouldn't have had the same opinion as I have now. It's amazing we've been able to get this far, really. And, you know, the Tour de France is the biggest annual sporting event on the planet. And, look, we're 2 days in. We've still got 18 days to go, 19 days to go. But it's been a hell of a lot of organisation and logistical challenges from all the teams involved, and obviously our world body, and the big one is the French government to stage an event of this magnitude with the number one priority is the health of the public and the health of the athletes.
So Matt, you mentioned going for stage wins. So the overall, obviously, prize there is out. But how tricky is that to manage for you as a team director? Is it, have you already penciled in the stages that you know exactly that you want to go for? Or does that just evolve as the race goes, depending on how your riders are feeling?
A combination of both. So out of the 21 stages, my crew here with sports directors, we have actually physically driven about 14 of the stages already, and they're the stages that we see are key stages. The one we haven't looked at are the sprint stages, which we haven't got a sprinter here or a pure sprinter here. So even last week, one of our directors, Matt Wilson, came in from Australia on Monday and sent between Monday and Friday checking out stages 3 to 7. Last week I was in France checking out stages 15 to 18. Another sports director checked out a couple of the others. So we've physically seen these stages, and which gives us a great idea. There's a lot of apps now we can use to check out Google Earth and a couple of other apps so we can look through the stages and where the roads are and with GPX files. But we go, then it's better to see them physically. We've identified the stages that suit us. But that's all in the planning stage. And then obviously that has to adapt with where you are sitting in the race, other teams' tactics, and obviously how the condition of your athletes evolves over the 3 weeks.
So give us a bit of a heads up, Matt, on the next couple of stages. For those playing at home that will be watching, we probably won't get a chance to speak to you too often through the tour because you've got a fair few things to do, I imagine. You've got 198Ks for stage 3 tonight, and then there's a Stage 4 is going to be interesting. Only 160Ks, but it finishes with a big, nice, high-altitude finish. What are we expecting from your team and from the tour in the next couple of stages?
Yeah, so tomorrow is a stage for the sprinters, and there's not many pure sprint stages in this year's tour. So tomorrow we play off the sprint teams. It's a great day for Caleb Ewan and the sprinters. So we will let the sprint teams control tomorrow's stage. And then stage 4, look, we're 4 seconds off the lead. And look, if we see any weakness in Julian Alaphilippe, the French rider who has the leader's jersey, we'll take it. Our plan to run with stage wins also correlates with our chance to take the yellow jersey. So if we see any weakness in the leader in this first week, we'll go after it and try to grab that yellow jersey.
What's that worth, a yellow jersey for your team? That moment of standing up on the podium with Mitchelton Scott sitting at the top of the outfit there, on the yellow jersey. What's that worth to your team?
Well, we've been there before, 2013. Actually, in the same town we're in at the moment, in Nice, we took the yellow jersey for 5 days. Look, it's obviously it's the jersey that everyone's looking for. You are leading the biggest bike race on the planet, and it has a lot of attention. I mean, the race is shown in 190 plus countries around the world, 110 lives, and it just brings a lot of attention to your sponsors. So for Mitchelton, for Scott, for all our backers, it's a great prize. And if you can put your rider in the jersey, even for a day, It's great publicity, and it's the best promotion for our sport to be in. Besides winning a stage, which is 21 winners, but there's only one person in the yellow jersey, so it's a great place to be. But last year we won four stages here, and if we can come close to that sort of target, we had an incredible tour last year, and if we can come close to that this year, it'll be another great tour.
So then, what's the target for this year? Obviously, we're only two stages in. Have you said we want to win three stages? Have you said we want to win one stage? What's the target for the team this year?
Look, the bar is high. We're aiming for multiple stages, but we're also realistic that last year, for example, there's 20, 21, 22 teams in the Tour de France, and most teams go home without a stage win. Because last year there were three teams with four stage wins, but there's 12 stages taken up within three teams. So any team who wins a stage, that's definitely a success. So we'd be disappointed if we didn't win a stage here, but the bar is set high, and I would expect we need to win a stage with one of our climbers. We came close today. And we've got plenty of opportunities, especially in the back end, early in this first week, and then the back end of the race. So we're aiming high, and if we can pull off a stage win at least, that'll be a successful tour.
Well, we'd love to see the colours on the podium at the end of the stages. If it just happens to be a yellow jersey, that would be even better, Matt. We wish you and the team all the best throughout what's going to be, I'm sure, a very dramatic and exciting tour for Mitchelton Scott. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, guys.